Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Someone has said, our lives are the books people read every day. Those outside the church are drawn to experience the love that believers share. Today, a look at why we do what we do and what our underlying motive must be if we're to reach the lost. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on finding where you fit. Turn with us to the book of 1 Corinthians as Dr. Lutzer comes now to tell us about the motivation of love.
What is it that really does distinguish us as a church from the world? Is it because we have more money than the world? Well, you can laugh at that because obviously the answer is no. Let me ask you, is it because we are more committed to our cause than the world is to its causes? Unfortunately, the answer to that, again, may be no. There are some people who are more committed to save the whales than we are committed to save souls. Is it because of what we believe? Is that what makes us different? Well, that's a trick question now, so be very careful before you answer it, because in one sense the answer is yes, of course it's what we believe that makes us different. But what we believe in and of itself does not give us a visible difference from the world. If you're going to speak about visible difference, you have to go back to the words of Jesus Christ. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one toward another. Now, I need to tell you that throughout the years, I've always felt a little uneasy about that verse. I haven't minded quoting it, of course, because it comes from the lips of Christ himself. But I feel uneasy because I have seen in church history so many churches that have emphasized love that they have compromised truth. And there's always that temptation, isn't there? The temptation is that love can just swallow truth whole. And we've seen that time and time again when there are those who will begin to renege on the doctrines because they say, well, you know, God is love. And from there, all kinds of heresies have flowed. And the tension between love and truth is always there. It's been there since the church began, really. The year is just 200, just the third century, Northern Africa, extreme persecution breaks out. Violent persecution against the Christians. And you know what happens is, understandably, there are some Christians who denied Christ under pressure. Then the persecution ended, and the question was, should we welcome these folks back into the church or shouldn't we? The church was divided. Cyprian wrote a letter, and he was a bishop in the church, and he argued that, of course, we should invite them back if they repent. They should be welcome because, after all, the founder of the church, the supposed founder, Peter himself, denied Christ under pressure. So why can't we welcome these people back? There was another man in the church by the name of Novatian, and he argued differently. Novatian said that if we begin to welcome these people back, number one, we will depreciate the value of martyrdom, and number two, what an example for future generations. Young people are going to say, well, you can deny Christ under pressure because all that you need to do is repent and you're reinstated into the church. It's no big deal. So Novatian became a hardliner. In fact, he said that we should not even serve communion to someone who has been married twice. So you have a split in the church. You have the love church on the one side, and then on the other side you have the truth church. And historians tell us that when that split occurred, the church began to then have so many internal divisions among itself that soon it forgot its mission to the world because it had to clean up its own act and resolve the problem of a split. But in the Bible, truth and love go hand in hand. And today, the topic is love. And the chapter is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we would misinterpret this passage were it not for the need to put it into context. In chapter 12, and you remember I preached two messages on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then we went to Romans chapter 12, and then now we're back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the last part of the chapter, and then chapter 13. Paul has been discussing the issue of gifts with people who have been absorbed with the various gifts, particularly those sensational gifts. And Paul commends them and says, I commend you because you come behind in no spiritual gift. There were people who were seeking gifts like the gift of tongues and miracles, and they were taking these to an extreme. And so Paul ends the 12th chapter and says, he lists them in verse 28, God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, and then he puts tongues last. And he says, not all are apostles, are they? Not all are prophets, not all speak in tongues, etc. He says, all do not have the gifts of healing. Verse 31, earnestly desire the greater gifts. Now, he is not telling us that we should go through the list of gifts and choose the ones that we want. He's already emphasized that it is God who puts these gifts within the body and distributes them as he wills. But Paul is saying that as a church, when you are thinking about gifts, don't just concentrate on the supernatural gifts, but rather, he says, concentrate on the more important gifts, the greater gifts of communication, of teaching, and of evangelism. And then he says, but I have a more excellent way to teach you, because no matter how gifted you are, if you don't know this, you have missed it. And you've missed it by at least a mile. And that's the context now of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, since this is a famous chapter and it's a chapter on love, I'd like to take you by the hand and very lovingly, let's walk through this passage of Scripture together. And then what we're going to do is to look at it and see its implications for us, for our lives, and for the church. First of all, in verses 1 to 3, Paul says, love is necessary. Love is necessary. He says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if I am that gifted and do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Wouldn't you like to have the gift of tongues? Some people would. Some of us don't think that it is necessary today, but there are those within the church who still pursue it. And Paul says, even if you get it and you can talk supernaturally like the angels, and nobody knows how the angels talk, he says, and if you don't have love, it's nothing. You are empty. And then there are those who say, well, you know, I'm not interested in tongues. I'm interested in the gift of prophecy. If there's anything that I want to do is I want to train for the ministry. I want to really have the gift of communication and preach the word of God. Paul says, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge. This week, as I was looking at this, I thought, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if we here at the Moody Church hired somebody on the staff like that? Imagine somebody having the gift of prophecy and knowing all mysteries and having all knowledge. Can you imagine his counseling schedule? Just imagine it. Because here's somebody who has all this insight, and people from around the world are trying to sign up and to get 20 minutes of his time and finally find the answer of the deep mysteries that plague us. And Paul says, if you had a gift like that and didn't have love, it's not just that you would be empty, but he says you would be a nothing. You would be a toothpick with all of the wood carefully shaved from it. Nothing. A zero. Well, what about if you have all faith so as to remove mountains? Now, there's something that I'd like to have. You know all these mountains that are in the way? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to speak the word and the mountains disappear? Paul says, if you have faith to remove all mountains, and if you have love, you are nothing. Now, verse 3, really, I struggle with it. I think you will too. And if I give all of my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. I look at this and I say, how can somebody who gives all of his possessions to feed the poor not be loving? I mean, there have been those in church history who have done this, and we hold them up as the quintessential example of what love is all about. And then there are those who give their bodies to be burned. In France, There were martyrs who were marched to their death, who sang so loudly that the world hired a band to drown out the sound of the people who were going to lay down their lives. And Paul says, I could give my body to be burned, and I could die at the stake, and still not have love. And I say, Paul, I thought that that's exactly what love does. And Paul would say, now wait a moment before you shout. He would say, you have to understand that it's even possible to do that with such a wrong motive that it's not loving, though it looks that way. And if I give my body to be burned, and if I give my possessions to feed the poor, Paul says, if I do not have love, I am nothing. Love is essential. It is necessary. Now, in the next verses, Paul picks it up and says, love is special. Love is special. And certainly, by the way, he would say to us, you know, if we, no matter how much we know, no matter how gifted we are, no matter how much we delight in the gifts of others, no matter how wonderful our worship service, and what a wonderful worship service we've had here this morning, but no matter how wonderful it is, if you do not have love, you are nothing, Paul would say. And now beginning at verse 4 and going through to the end of verse 7, Paul says that love is very special. It is extraordinary. You don't find this in the average office down in the loop.
Oh, my friend, if we are to take 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and memorize it and then begin to ask ourselves, what qualities are there in that chapter that I have, that I'm working on, and the ones perhaps that I don't have at all, think of how different we would be. But I need to stress that it really does begin within our own family. So I speak to you husbands and ask, do you really love your wives? And wives, do you love your husbands? You say, well, that's very difficult to do if you knew my husband. Well, I don't know your husband. But let us keep in mind that the love that is spoken of in 1 Corinthians 13 is a divine love. It is birthed in our hearts by God. And I think that what we should do is to get on our knees and to stay there in silence and say, God, I find it so difficult to love. Create that love within me. Give it to me from a supernatural source. May it be the Holy Spirit that dwells within me that causes me to love, because I can't. And when we begin to love, the Holy Spirit of God who is within us begins to flow and begins to impact the lives of other people. And we discover that it is possible for us to apply this marvelous chapter to our special existence. My friend, let me share my heart with you. It is because of people like you that Running to Win can go around the world sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're looking for more endurance partners to run this race. Go to moodymedia.org and click on Endurance Partners, and you will find out how you can help many people make it across the finish line.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has brought part one of The Motivation of Love, the fourth and final message in a series on finding where you fit. Next time, more on why the love of God is special as well as essential. All four Finding Where You Fit messages can be yours on CD, sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.